97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
All right, it's time for this.
Tech Talk Tuesday with George Rosenthal of ThrottleNet. ThrottleNet.com.
Well, it's that time every week where we scare the hell out of the listeners. And here he is to do that, George Rosenthal. How are you this afternoon?
Doing great, doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me on. And I'm kind of jealous you were at Belle Reve today.
Oh, my goodness. I hope you are able to get out there. It's amazing. The course looks great. It was comfortable. Got to see some of the players. Rory was trying to fine-tune his game, which has not been very good lately. So it's going to be a really, really fun week here.
Oh, man.
But let's talk about, look, this meta trial is still going underway in California, right? I think we've covered this a little bit before. Are they actually getting down to the, you know, the nitty-gritty here where this is going to wrap or not?
Yeah, I mean, the last time we talked about this, it was very general. It was high level. Now we're starting. Now it's day one. We're on. So let's cover some of the details, because I think a lot of people really care about this who have children, especially under the age of 16 or 13 is where this whole court case is going to come together. So, look, I mean, to put it in total perspective, this, and for those of the adults who were lived through the 90s, Big Tobacco, when they were getting sued, they always won, until they lost. And this is that case. So we're talking a huge milestone case of what could happen and where the future is going to be for social media. So the prosecution is saying, and this is 29 states coming together, saying, look, you're hooking the users up. You're holding them as long as possible. You're harvesting their personal data, and you're hiding the truth from the public. And this is all aimed at kids under the age of 13, which is abhorrent to even think about. And how they're doing it is through, obviously, everybody here who use or is listening is used Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or YouTube. You know, they're doing it through infinite scrolling, personalized recommendations, of course, and constant notifications. So it's a huge problem, because children under the age of 13 are suffering from anxiety, depression. I mean, they're having socialization problems. They're having body dysmorphia problems. They're having sleep deprivation because they're looking at this stuff at all hours of the night. It's a very big problem. It's an epidemic on our children. And of course, Meta is, you know, going to go against that. But remember, let's keep this in mind as we're listening to this case over the next 6 weeks, because that's what they're estimating is going to take. They already lost, Meta already lost a case in New Mexico for $567 million. So the precedent's been kind of set, because remember that gal who claimed all kinds of mental issues and anxiety issues? Well, she won. So that precedent's already there. Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so I was going to say, is the Deputy Attorney General of California, her name is Megan O'Neill. She said in court, they hid the truth. When it came time to make the decision, choose what's safe for kids or choose what's safe for its profits, time and time again, profits won. So if the states win here, this is what the coverage in Politico says, I just want your reaction, that they'll have a rare chance to force sweeping design changes to Instagram and Facebook that could decrease kids' spent time on social media and, by extension, eat into Meta's lucrative advertising revenue. So that's part of the goal here, is for the states to have more control over this, right?
Yes, and to ensure the safety of our children. And here's really what I'm excited about that point, is that if they lose, okay, they will have a mandatory disablement of the infinite scroll. So if you're scrolling for hours and hours, that will be gone. If you're under the age of 13, you will have to have verification of your age. You will not be able to sit there and scroll for 30 straight minutes, okay, which is great. I love this. And they're going to have to be forced to turn off late night notifications. These social media platforms are sending notifications to your children's devices at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And it's and there is no regulation against it. The settlement money, okay, they're talking about $1.3 to $1.4 trillion. This is if Meta loses. I can cover the Meta wins here in a second, but
yeah.
If they lose, the money goes to fund youth mental health, which is amazing, and it forces this digital literacy programs in schools across the country to start teaching kids that life is more than what you see on a screen, that your friends matter, socialization matters. this it's I can't even believe we're talking about this being taught
I know.
To children.
Wow,
but it has to be taught.
Yes, I was going to say, this had never occurred to me, but boy, is that a good idea.
It really is.
Yes.
And, you know, the other thing.
Everybody's sitting like, yeah.
Well, we've talked about this, you and I, George, like outside of what you just recommended there on the meta stuff. But even I want to know more and more how, and I'm going to ask these questions as my daughter starts sixth grade, how these school districts are going to handle teaching about AI, because you can't just ignore it. I think to a certain extent, that's what people are doing. Now, let me offer devil's advocate here. Okay, so the states say you hid the truth. You did this to, maximize profits. I'm going to say, yeah, I'm a business. I want to maximize profits. I mean, these risks are, why would I be to blame for these risks when some of this is a parenting issue and things along those lines? Couldn't they argue that?
I agree, but it's the same argument as cigarettes. Okay, we're talking the same thing. Yes. You know what? At least cigarettes were 18 and older, but it still caused a massive problem with youth in America. And thank goodness that has that societal construct has slowly gone away. And you can't smoke on an airplane anymore, and you can't smoke in a doctor's lobby anymore.
Oh, the good old days!
It used to happen.
I know.
the good old days. We used to go to a doctor, and everyone was smoking in the lobby.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that we were, because I remember this, that people were allowed
planes.
To smoke on planes.
It really, yes.
They did have good ventilation, but still, it's nuts. All right, let's move on here. Tech Talk Tuesdays, George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet. You have a topic here that says the backdoor breach, how hackers use small vendors to hit you. So what's
genius.
This about?
Evil genius.
Yeah, so it is evil genius. You're so right, Sue. It's not even funny. So they're trying to find ways to get into bigger corporations. And I mean bigger. I mean people that have 20 employees or more, okay? Not. So what they're doing is, because obviously people are starting to catch on to the fact that they need cybersecurity. They have to have cybersecurity tools in place. And now these smaller companies, 20 employees or up, are now using AI tools. So in order to infiltrate the business, instead of trying to, you know, just brute force attack, they think, well, why don't I go to some of their vendors? I'll go to their HVAC vendor, their heating and cooling. I'll go to their billing company, their bookkeepers, their property managers. I'll go to all the different people, the vendors that these companies are using, infiltrate the vendors, but not let the vendors know I'm there. Don't try to hack the heating and cooling company. Don't try to hack the cleaning company that comes to the business. But watch for the invoices that come through. And when they do, then try to get into the larger customer. Mm. So by doing this, the customer, so let's just say I hack a cleaning company. Cleaning company sends the business an invoice, okay, through an email. Then they copy that business's, that cleaning company's email and says, hey, we changed our checking account information. We're going to need you to fill out this information, and you're going to send the money to the cleaning company, but you send it to the bad guy. But here's the thing, is the poor cleaning company doesn't know they're being used as a hacker for all of their clients. So when you go to trace it, it takes a lot of looking into things and tracing it to realize that the cleaning company is actually helping the hackers steal money from all their clients.
That's crazy, which is, by the way, one of the reasons we recommend your company, because as you always say, it's not just the big companies, right? It's small, mid-sized companies that are getting hit with some of these things. All right. There's a topic on here that I'm personally curious about because I've seen it happen on my Apple devices where I'm being asked for, I mean, I always like to use Face ID when I can, but now there's this passkey thing. I don't even know what it is, but it's like a thing. And I know that what you're saying is that the tech giants want passwords dead. So what's the passkey push and what's happening with that?
Yeah, so really this is starting from the banks. The banks want passwords gone because there's so much fraud going on in the banking industry, and they're having to pay for basically all of the fraud. So passkeys is essentially a way that you don't even know what's being transferred between your device and the website or the company you're working with. So the company you're working with has a key. Let's just say it's a long numbered key. That key matches a key that's on your device, but you have no idea what it is. All you did was say, yes, I'd like to set up a passkey. You push a button, and then the magic happens behind the scenes.
Right.
But what's interesting is there's no text. There's no password string of letters, numbers, characters that get passed back and forth. All it's doing is matching a key that's on your computer or your phone to a key that the bank has on their website. And if the keys match, then they know it's you. And there's no way to track, or there's no way to phish that. There's no way to hack that, because they can't, the keys have to match. And that means that the bad guys would have to hack the bank, and they'd also have to hack you. So the chances of that happening are very, very slim to none. So pass keys are going to replace all of passwords. And thank God for that, because I am so done with passwords, I can't even stand it. And that's even with a password keeper. I'm just so done with them.
Well, I'm done with them too. But let me back up on this, because I'm not sure I completely understand this, and I'm not very smart. So, like, I've noticed this on my iPhone, where I use, like, again, I use Face ID to get into the bank and everything. But then it says you want to use a pass key, and I say yes. So in my mind, I thought the pass key was just Face ID, but it's not. That you're saying, you're describing something very different, right?
No, yeah. So they're using your face or fingerprint to then acknowledge that you are you. Once the device acknowledges you are you, then it sends the pass key to the vendor that you're using.
But is the pass key the same? Like, does it change?
It does change all the time, yes. And it can change, and it all depends on how the pass key is set up. But so great is you never see it. The bank or vendor that you're using, let's just say you're shopping online, and they have a pass key that has to match up with your pass key. They don't even know what the pass key is. It's all set up with algorithms digitally. But in order to acknowledge that you are you, it's using biometrics such as your touch ID, face, of course, in order to prove that you're you before the two devices can even talk to each other.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes
but
a little bit more
sense.
But the
point is, you never had to type a password in.
Right.
You never had to transfer. And the issue is transferring text or characters across the internet, because that can be intercepted. That can be decrypted. That there's all ways that can be captured. And then now they've got your password. Well, there is no password, because they'd have to have a key on your device that also matches the key on Amazon or Walmart.com or wherever, or Bank of America. And that's why the pass keys are so secure, because they'd have to hack into both and then match them up perfectly to your device in order to use it. And then on top of that, they then need the biometrics of your face or fingerprint to even acknowledge and to kick off the process
of matching
the keys together.
Yeah, that's
a good
really
thing.
Good.
I like to hear that. That's, hey, you know what? You've kind of encouraged me a little bit.
Yes, that was a positive.
Like
yeah, yeah.
We're going to end on a positive note, George
Rosenthal. Doom and gloom the whole time?
No, we'll end on a positive note. We will talk next Tuesday, and I believe I'm going to be at a baseball game next Tuesday with you guys, right?
Yes, looking forward to it. You're going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is for talking about AI and automation. We're going to have a bunch of guests. Of course, you're going to be there. It's going to be really great. If there's any businesses out there that would like to attend, business owners that have more than 20 employees, would definitely encourage you to go to throttlenet.com/cardinals. The event's coming up quick. I think there's only maybe a handful of seats left, but it's all you can eat, all you can drink in a box at the Cardinal game. And of course, you get to hang out with you.
And my personal security detail has been in touch with you guys already, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Just make sure that's all buttoned up.
And not only that, we know that you love Skittles or what, you know, we have this whole like setup of what you're requiring when you get there.
It's in my rider. Thank you for paying attention.
Your rider. Thank you. Yes.
Have a great week, George. We'll talk next Tuesday.
Get more at 971talk.com.